Well, why don't we wait? Because we're rolling. How you doing, folks? Welcome to the podcast. Big Splash WrestleCast. You know, the podcast that brings wrestling to your ear holes. How you doing, folks? I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
Today, we have two special guests. Mike, you could introduce these two gentlemen.
Yes. So, just letting everyone know.
Strange voices.
The two people that I have to my right, even though you can't see them, I work
right
with.
To my
yeah,
left.
Yes. Yeah. I work with both of them on a regular basis, once a week during the fall and spring semester for the Cool Side of the Pillow, which will be coming back, but I'll keep you that posted on that kind of show. But I'd like to first introduce you to John Pud Penipinto.
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, John?
Yeah.
You may recognize his voice because he did do a call-in on our SummerSlam special.
I did. From beautiful, sunny Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Oh, yes.
I did call in.
Yes. Now, since we also have John here, we also have another fan here who will be helping us out today, and his name is Crazy Joe.
You forget about the crazy. That's just Joe. Joe Gopian, big wrestling Mark. Yes.
He's a big Mark.
A big Mark. Yes. Changing my name to Mark.
He's a big Mark. Well, you know, we have four people and we're sharing two mics, so bear with us if it sounds like we're punching each other in the head and
we're not
throwing microphones and computers down the stairs.
Perfect. Now, before we even continue, we get into all the news and stuff. The question that we started off on the first episode was, we both discussed it, myself and Steven, was how did you become a wrestling fan?
We'll pass Mike's mic around and we'll start with Joe.
So we'll start off with Joe. What made you become a wrestling fan?
See, I was so young when I started watching wrestling. Like, my first WrestleMania was, I want to say 9 or 10. 10 was the one with the ladder match, Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was definitely, without a doubt, had to do with Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
I still love Shawn Michaels today. He's my favorite of all time. And he definitely made me want to keep watching every week.
Mm-hmm.
And, John, what made you become a wrestling fan?
You know you can't be heard, right?
He's
emceeing.
Talking in the background.
Yeah. The question was, John, what made you become a wrestling fan?
What made me a wrestling fan? I was watching a match once, and there was Bret Hart did a roll up, which is, it got me from that moment on. No, I have a better story than that.
That was pretty much my story. I think. I think mine was one of the.
I thought it was Mike's. I thought it was Mike that said it was the roll up.
No, it was Mike's.
Because I wouldn't have said anything if it was your story.
Right. Okay.
But because it was Mike's story, I had something to say.
Right. Yeah.
No,
It was fantastic. Role.
I was actually watching TV once, and the cable came in illegally on the pay-per-view channels.
Oh, yeah.
It happened to be during a pay-per-view, and I caught, I think it was Mick Foley was in, well, I don't think it was the Hell in the Cell match, but I think Mick Foley was in a Hell in the Cell match, and I was like, this might be interesting. Then I stopped watching it forever, and the first match I can remember watching was this, the Armageddon Hell in the Cell, the six-man where Rikishi fell off the thing.
Oh, God, that was atrocious.
It was terrible.
That was the hodgepodge of useless talent. Well, it wasn't useless. Well, whatever. What was I going to say? Crap. I was going to say something to what you said about the thing with the people, but we'll go back to it.
Illegal pay-per-view.
Right, illegal pay-per-view. That's what it was. My first illegal pay-per-view was Owen Hart's death.
Oh, wow.
That was the one that I had illegally. That was the first one. It was one of those, oh, look what's on. And I actually turned it on during the blackout. It was like right when they blacked it out. And I was like, what's going on? I thought, where's my pay-per-view? And I'm trying to get it to work. And then JR comes on and they do the Owen Hart death voice that King now does whenever somebody gets severely beaten in the ring. He does the Owen Hart death voice.
He does. That's a good, that is a very, I never really even noticed that.
Yes, he does the, oh my God, Sheamus. Sheamus, really, he put so many knees into Daniel Bryan. Oh my god. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. It's gonna be weird because we don't really have that great of a setup today. But hopefully, I could get Stupid Garage Band to recognize more mics than just the two. So we're going to start off like we start off every big Splash WrestleCast. We're going to talk about some news, and the news is going to be brought to you by eWrestlingNews.com, which I'm pimping them, and they have no idea I'm doing so, because I guarantee you zero of the people know that this show exists, because we only have 30 viewers. So,
for my radio show, I steal all my news from MSNBC.com.
Right.
And AOL.
I don't give them any credit. I don't give them any credit, ever.
Well, we're giving credit, and I actually started a blog on eWrestling News, but I'm going to write one, you know, soon. All right. Let's get it started. Let's see. Let's scroll down here. Let's see.
Well, we could talk about the major one.
Which one's that? Matt Hardy?
Matt Hardy,
it's up to me to dig myself out of this hole, according to his Twitter. Yes. His videos are becoming more and more unbearable to watch. I don't know if they ever were bearable to watch.
Yes.
I'm calling it right now. Before the end of the year, Matt Hardy's dead. I'm calling it right now.
I think he will be dead.
He will be drug overdose dead.
Covered in grapes.
Mike, do you have anything to say? Because I have serious opinions on Matt Hardy.
Go ahead. I want to hear the honest opinions about this guy.
I hate Matt Hardy. I've always hated Matt Hardy. And this whole situation where he's going to kill himself. Joe, we were sitting in my house. How many times did we joke like, man, I'm just waiting for Matt Hardy to die already?
Oh, too many times.
It was bad. And honestly, when was it? Right after he got into a car accident, the day they announced he got into a car accident, I went on his YouTube page and I wrote, hey, Matt, just still waiting for you to change the face of wrestling. Oh, wait a minute. You crashed into a tree because you were drunk driving in the middle of the day. I honestly can't stand him. If I met him face to face, I would be like, you are the worst person. Why don't you go eat some more? Fat monster Hardy.
Oh, man.
Okay, well, speaking of Hardys, Jeff Hardy's back on the road with TNA. And he actually returned tonight.
Tonight.
But we're not going to speak of this because that's going to go for a very special segment.
Yes.
Where brought to you by Flip Flops.
Yes.
Okay. We had a little Matt Hardy issues. Let's see. Kurt Angle isn't happy with the WWE.
No. He's not happy with the WWE because in his Twitter account, he says that, why am I ranked number 34?
Yes.
Why am I ranked number 34 in the top 50? I should be at least in the top five.
And I'm telling you right now, the reason why he's number 34 is because he left the company.
I don't think he'd be that higher.
And that is also the only reason why Bret Hart was number two or three instead of number one on that 50 superstars of all time. That's why Shawn Michaels got the number one spot, because Bret left. If Bret had another 10 years in the company, he would have been number one. Booyah, I'm saying it. Sorry, Joe.
what do you think of with the Kurt Angle thing? I mean, do you think he should be in, like, even the top, let's say top 10?
No. Like, how many years was Kurt Angle with the WWE?
Maybe five, or six?
Just 5 years? I know he had some good matches, but should he be in the top five for 5 years? He's been in TNA for more than he's been in WWE, right?
Yeah, he has. It's starting to add up now.
I'm sorry. And who cares about rankings? This guy's a loser. I should be top five in the rankings. What is this, a freaking YouTube? I'm sorry.
It's okay. He loves. Listen, to let all the viewers know, Joe is a huge Kurt Angle fan. He absolutely adores him 110%, and I'm not lying. I'm speaking the truth.
Guys,
it's damn real.
We have very bad news.
What's up?
It has been confirmed that Owen Hart and Andre the Giant will not be in WWE 12 because of legal issues.
Really?
Yes, they will not be in.
Andre the Giant can be in WWE All-Stars, but he can't be in WWE 12.
Hey, remember that time that we had that show Tough Enough?
Yes.
Remember that time that guy Andy Levine won?
Yes.
Suspended 30 days for steroids.
Ah, perfect.
Moving on.
All right, there you go. Great.
Well, I don't know if it's steroids, but it's violation of the wellness policy.
Oh,
well, lucky you. Joe just said he had a picture with Levine. This podcast is going to be a disaster.
I find that if you speak loud enough, you can somewhat be heard.
That makes it funnier.
I guess. And it's funny from behind when you just have someone having a conversation. No, go ahead.
Here's some news. Mickey James turned 32.
Woo!
Jeff Hardy's 34, so
that's fine. Yeah, I'm going to call it right now. I think Jeff Hardy will die by at least before 40. I really do think so.
I didn't think he was going to make it to 35.
It's quick.
All right. We're gonna start. That's it for news. I mean, there's really not that much because the news has actually been what's been on our televisions is with the news. So Trip Monster, Trip H, the COO, the game, the cerebral chief operating officer, came out on Raw and he's mashing the two brands together for the foreseeable future, as he said. This is something I've been calling for about 2 years now, and it's honestly it's been happening for 2 years. We've seen SmackDown guys on Raw.
Yeah, all the time, going back and forth. All the time without like. They always have the three-hour specials, two or three times, freaking year.
Yeah. So I mean, but now it's thankfully, and this is I think for two reasons. One, the rumor is that they're trying to get SmackDown off Fridays. They want them to be a different day. So this could help, I guess, with the more.
It worked with Thursday nights. It was working for that for so long.
Yeah.
But didn't they move it because of the fact that it was hard to do, like, Monday, Thursday shows back in the day because, like, they were always having a tough time, so that's why they did back-to-back to give, like, the wrestlers more time.
Live on Thursday? They never...
It was never live.
Really?
On Thursday.
I thought it was always live.
No, it was always taped Tuesday, and that was because it's for travel. They work basically Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then they're off until they have to go to the next house show on Saturday, or whatever it is, or do their appearances. The other thing is, I think this is basically a call to their investors because the stock is just dipping. Every month it just dips. So they're saying, listen, there's no more half programs. You're not going to get, half the roster on one, half the roster on it. We're going to give you an all-stars thing every week, every show, whether it's on Sci-Fi USA or if it's on the internet, you're getting, the best, of the best. And I'm thankful for it because it's going to get the dead weight off the card, which, all right, I don't want anybody to get fired, but it's blatant that some guys just should be on Superstars or NXT and they should not be on Raw and SmackDown. They just shouldn't. I love you, Zack Ryder, but until you show me something in the ring, get out of it. So that whole spiel happened that we have more Nash Triple H garbage. Where Triple H says, okay, Punk, you want him, you got him, it's you and Nash, Night of Champions, and then whose music was playing, whoever won the last match, their music's playing, nobody in the stadium can hear a word Triple H is saying.
Oh, yeah, John Cena's match,
Punk, it's not Nash, it's me. Rumors are that Nash failed his physical, and that they're afraid of him effing something up.
Yep.
But it could just be... It could just be that this is what they wanted to do all along.
And supposedly the original plans before this whole entire physical went down the drain was that Punk was going to beat Nash, and then it was going to culminate in Punk versus Triple H in Survivor Series. But they pushed that a little bit earlier now, I guess, to try to get the storyline, a little bit more people interested in it. I don't know how you continue after this. I mean, I don't know what kind of storyline you can have, after, like, what if Triple H wins? It doesn't lead to anything.
Well, Triple H doesn't have to win, so I doubt he will win unless Nash gets involved and, messes that up somehow.
Did you hear that Triple H, they want him to return to action, like, next Monday?
Yeah, he's supposedly going to be in action on Monday.
What match I heard?
He's been wrestling house shows for a while.
It bothers me. I understand, he's still a wrestler and he can still go out there and perform and all that stuff. But, if you're giving him a character, let him stay as that character.
You're right. I 100% agree with you. My idea is that if you're not going to be the game anymore, then don't be the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's no real option, but when he comes out to fight at Night of Champions, under no circumstances do I want to see him in his tights, spitting the water. That's not you anymore. If that's not you, then that's not you. That's it.
Right.
You know, I don't want you to wear a Vince McMahon singlet and jeans, but part of me...
I kind of want him to.
Right. Part of me really does want to see that because I don't want to see... If Triple H, the cerebral assassin, the game, this monster tough guy, King of Kings, you claim that he's gone, you're a new person, then... Do that, because I don't want to see you coming back and doing that.
I could see him doing a Shawn Michaels thing where, you know, remember when Shawn Michaels, you know, like wore the leather pants instead of the tights and for a while when he first came back. I could see him doing something like where he's a little less intense, but he still says, you know, he's still the cerebral assassin. When CM Punk pushes him far, you know, to a point, he says, the difference between me and Vince is that I'm not going to lay in the ring and let you beat me up because it's good for the business. I'm going to hurt you. So he's still a bit of that cerebral assassin, that bit of the tough guy. First match on Raw might be my favorite match of all the Raws all year. Orton and Ziggler. Yeah. And Ziggler somehow, I think, got hurt during it. He hurt his neck or something. I don't know. JR was tweeting, whatever. But whatever. It was one of my favorite matches on Raw. It wasn't, you know, spectacular, but the guys, I mean, they put on a show. So, you know,
I liked it. I thought it was very interesting. They actually made Ziggler more like, you know, like almost like, okay, he's actually a good wrestler. Like that's how it came off a lot better in that match. But I still called it the same way. I didn't think that Orton was going to lose that match.
No, you don't. Your champion doesn't lose. You know, your champion should not lose.
No, it'd be dumb for him to lose lose to Ziggler.
But he made Ziggler look good, and Ziggler made him look good. It was an ending we haven't seen from Orton, which it's getting to the point where he's got to do something spectacular every time he does the RKO now. You know, right. From Evan Bourne, Christian twice, he did something new with Christian. You know, all that, yeah. You know, Punk, it's just always something new. But, you know, it was good to see them have a really hot opening match because the crowd was insane. So it was good to see that. You know, we also had CM Punk versus The Miz, which was another one where I was kind of like, all right, they're pulling out all the
stops. That came
out
of left field. That really did. I didn't think that they were going to do that, but it was a big surprise. And I loved how in the middle of the match there was a "Let's go, Miz," CM Punk, like just chant that starts. And it was just, I thought it was just, you know, it was a good way to show off the talents between the two guys, what they have.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to say, hey, Miz belongs in the main event still. He's still, you know, I actually tweeted about the Ziggler match. I said, if Ziggler didn't prove in that match that he belongs in the main event, I don't know what the hell the guy's got to do. Do you guys know, what is it called? Wow, what is it? When you have stinky poopy diarrhea, that's what it's called. Because that's what we got in Sin Cara versus Jack Swagger.
Oh,
that was a big dookie bomb from the two of them. Oh, yeah. It was a big poop.
Sin Cara, Jack Swagger, both of them, what's going on? What is going on?
No, let's be honest. Why is Jack Swagger coming on Raw every week with this storyline? Because he is getting worse by the minute.
He is getting worse and worse. And I have to tell you guys that, I mean, and I don't know if you want to save this for another discussion a little later, but I have my own opinions about the draft split. I mean, I don't know if you want to save that for later.
That'll be our topic of the podcast. That's going to be what we're going to talk about once we wrap up Raw and SmackDowns.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the brand split a little. Oh, look at that. We gave a little premonition. You guys know what's coming up later on in the show. We got the tag champions, Kofi Kingston and Evan Bourne, now Air Boom.
Ugh. Doesn't even make sense. Let me just
versus
point that
David
out.
Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy. Speaking of McGillicuddy, he begged to change his name to his real name, you know, to be a Henning. What's his real name? What's his first name?
Joe Henning.
He wants to be Joe Henning, to which Mr. Future Endeavor told him, when you start performing like a Henning, then you could take the name.
Ooh.
Big slap in the face to Michael McGillicuddy. But, you know, Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston, after winning a gripping match, you know, 8-minute, 6-minute match, and really pushed the champions to the limit and won the titles, they won in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So there goes the squash. And then we had Broccoli and Carrots.
Wait. There was something we did learn at the end of the match. Lawler and Michael McGillicuddy have a problem with each other.
Right. Lawler gets his one match every year. You know.
I have to tell you, and I'm about the only person on earth who is I'm really excited for this Lawler Otunga McGillicuddy thing. I really am. I think it's very different to see Lawler being a jerk. He's being a real jerk, and that's what's great about it. He hasn't been a jerk in a long time. And I always say this, and Joe hates Michael McGillicuddy, and with right. I have a soft spot for anybody who came from NXT.
All right.
Just because I love NXT, so let's.
I have a soft spot for anybody that came from the sperm of an of a of a superstar from the late 80s, early 90s. That's okay. That's my soft spot. That's my David Hart Smith or Harry Smith, whatever. He's gone, and you know, Future Endeavor, and it just breaks my heart and soul. You know, I don't want to see that. I would give Tamina the world title. You know, like I don't even care at this point. Like I have a soft spot for them. Speaking of Tamina, we had Carrots and Snow Peas, which is what I'm calling Divas matches from now on, because they just look like a bunch of vegetables in there. I don't know. They just bore the hell out of me. We got a typical main event in John Cena and Sheamus versus Christian and Mark Henry. It's, you know, two feuds mashed together in the ring, and we got a very typical good guys winning thing. Was it real? Okay. It's just so bizarre to me that Cena for so long has been, he acknowledges every event. He acknowledges that some people hate him, some people love him. He'll say, oh, look at them. Oh, I love that. Get a reaction thing. Is he purposely ending matches with the five moves of doom?
I think so.
Just to piss people off?
I would say so.
Because he did, I don't know if, did he do that in this thing? Oh, he did, well, they did the two thing. But on SmackDown, he literally won a match with the five moves of doom. That, yeah. You know, this two, like.
And don't get me started on Barrett. Don't get me started on Barrett.
Well, but.
Never
John,
mind. We could discuss way better a little later.
John, I need to know. What is the much bigger purpose?
Apparently nothing.
You heard it here first.
You said Sheamus and Mark is a typical match, taking the two feuds and putting together. My yes. first thought was, it's Mark Henry and Christian versus Sheamus and John Cena, who's on Raw, who has nothing to do with any of the three of them.
Why?
Because Randy Orton needed to fight Ziggler in the beginning, which is fine. Although I have, and I'm going to cause a lot of controversy here, I have my own opinions on Ziggler as well.
Can go suck it.
But I just don't understand why John Cena, did they think they were going to get away with that and nobody noticing that they're going to put him in the middle of nothing? I don't know. That's my opinion.
COO has to have Cena in the main event. I think that's what they're leading up to, is a Cena heel turn, because Triple H is giving him everything because he thinks that's who he needs to run the company in order for the investors to invest money. So to make him the best COO, he needs to have Cena in the main event. I think that's what they're alluding to.
How do you like me now?
SmackDown.
Yes, SmackDown. So we
have two SmackDowns.
We do.
Because we didn't talk about last week's SmackDown, because we don't spoil things here at Big Splash WrestleCast.
No.
So we're going to talk about last Friday's SmackDown.
Yes. They were in Calgary.
Calgary. Alberta,
and a man,
Canada.
Yes, and a man
Who
was there.
Who used to say that? In every promo?
Lance Storm.
That's right, Lance Storm.
Oh,
right.
Wow.
We're from Calgary. Alberta, Canada. Lance Storm, do you read his blog?
No.
It's hysterical.
He's got his own show coming.
He's got, all right, I don't care about a show. I don't care about a vlog. Guys, all right, inside joke. All right, so SmackDown. We had an opening match, which is one of my favorite SmackDown matches of all year, which, I mean, I forget matches left and right, but we had Christian and DB. You had two guys that are in my fave five, brother. All right, so we had Christian and Daniel Bryan open the event, opened the competition side of SmackDown, which is becoming less and less about competition, which is a little annoying, and more and more about Mark Henry killing people.
Which I'm getting a little, it's slowly becoming very annoying seeing this every week from Mark Henry now. It's been like, they've been doing it for so long now, I think now it's starting to just get a little boring.
Oh, come on, Mark Henry's amazing.
Listen. Time out. Mark Henry, he's doing fine in the role that he has, but there is now one. The only reason why they're getting away with this is because they were PG for so long, and the PG people just don't remember when Mae Young gave birth to a hand, and Mark Henry was her husband, boyfriend, whatever, and sexual chocolate. They don't remember that. That's the only reason why he could get away with this. They don't remember when Kane had sex with Katie Vick, a corpse. They don't remember those things, so Kane could still be on television. They don't remember when Big Boss Man hung in the middle of a steel cage when Undertaker murdered him. They don't remember these things. That's the only reason why Undertaker could be a good guy. They don't remember when Triple H. Why do they think that we're just so dumb? It's the 20-something-year-old wrestling fans that are suffering with this whole PG crap.
Wade Barrett.
He had some things to say.
Wade Barrett is, in my opinion, the best guy they have right now.
Okay.
The most useful person they have right now.
Okay.
And they are crapping all over him. He loses every match. I don't think he's won a match since he debuted on Raw into the Nexus. I swear. He hasn't won a match.
Hold on. He did win a match. He beat Cole Cabana in a dark match.
He did.
And he beat some local competition.
Right. Speaking of local competition... I don't even know if I'm getting my shit.
No.
He walked away from the match.
He beat Daniel Bryan.
He did beat Daniel, but who doesn't beat Daniel Bryan?
Because
Daniel Bryan's over no matter what he does.
Right.
He could lose 50 times in a row, which I'm pretty sure he has.
Wade Barrett beat Daniel Bryan, Mr. Money in the Bank, and then the very next week, Wade Barrett fought on Superstars. What? It doesn't make any sense. And then the week after that, Daniel Bryan fought on Superstars.
Speaking of Superstars, Sin Cara and Heath Slater had a match. That's all we're going to say about that.
Wait. Which match? Is this the first match or is this the second match?
Oh, right, because they had two of those because they were booed out of the stadium.
They
apparently recorded a match. I think it opened SmackDown.
Yeah, it was like the second match.
Supposedly, whatever. So they got booed out of the building because Sin Cara doesn't know how to do a move. And then they came out before the main event and redid it.
I think it says something, though, that nobody blamed Heath Slater.
No, I like Heath Slater. I blame Heath Slater.
I like Heath Slater.
I blame Heath Slater because he needs to cut his hair. Okay, do you know, like, when at the workplace or at school, you just have that one guy that you look at and you're just like, I want to rip your face off.
Yeah, that's him.
I want to take your face off and I want to throw it. I want to kick you in the groin. I hate you. That's him. That's Heath Slater. He comes out and I say, your tights are ridiculous.
Your hair is
retarded.
It is.
You have this face that I just want to...
But he was so good.
That's why he's good to have in WWE, so people can boo him.
No. You don't boo somebody because you just hate their face. You boo them because they give you something to... No. He was on NXT.
Just saying. He was on NXT.
No.
Randy Orton
and DiBiase had a match.
Which DiBiase lost and Cody Rhodes.
I guess
kicked him out now, finally.
He put the bag up, whatever. Yeah. Then we had vegetables.
Another vegetable match.
Another vegetable match. And we had Big Zeke take on the Great Khali,
How long was this match?
Timeout. They put Kelly Kelly versus Tamina, followed by Zeke Jackson versus the Great Khali. Okay? If there was ever a bathroom break in an event ever, this was it. It was a total of about 6 minutes, 7 minutes between the two matches of pure bathroom break.
I can't believe I'm about to defend Ezekiel Jackson versus Khali, but Zeke putting Great Khali in the torture rack was
Great Khali
was pretty impressive.
Great Khali looked blank faced. And was trying so hard not to fall.
It looked amazing. The fact that he got him up there and he was shaking him around.
He tried so hard.
I give Zeke a little bit of credit.
He tried so hard not to fall.
And I give Khali credit because after having new music for 3 years, he went back to his original music. I don't think anybody's ever done that. Has it ever happened? I don't know.
It has happened, actually. It happened with Shawn Michaels. But he only used it wasn't 3 years, but he used that... awful, like him just being like, I think I'm cute. Oh, right. Like that awful, yeah, no, but like he has the one where he's singing, but it's like where, oh, it was just awful. It's on one of the CDs. I don't know. I was listening to it the other day. And then we got Sheamus versus the Mark Henrys.
Again, the count out.
I told you this was going to happen. To all the folks out there, I said they're going to trade count outs back and forth.
Yeah.
And it happened.
I thought it was a good ending with Sheamus getting, you know, the big world's strongest splash on the steel steps.
Right.
I don't think I've seen that. I don't think I've seen that move before. What?
What's the little thing?
World's strongest splash.
Yeah. What is that move? That's not a move. Brought to you apart by Big Splash WrestleCast.
I want to tell you guys something.
Yeah.
We went away, Joe and I, to Wildwood, and every time somebody jumped in the pool, we were like, is that a splash? How big was the splash? And somebody was always like, that was a big splash, WrestleCast. Definitely. Every time, I swear.
All right, listen, I came up with the name in a dream, okay? I woke up, I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and it works. So your boy Wade Barrett and John Cena had
on the Super SmackDown.
On the Super SmackDown.
If you now, forgot to record it, just if,
yes,
letting you know,
it was a live SmackDown, which everybody was crapping their pants just for Sin Cara, for a live SmackDown.
Yeah.
So yeah, right. So but they put him with the only person that could save him, in Daniel Bryan. The only person. That's right. My fave five. Number one on my fave five. But we're going to get to that later. So we had John Cena and Wade Barrett. It was not fun.
I mean,
it ended with the five moves of doom in 3.5 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. Cena
squashed him. I thought there would be something different. And he's like, oh, he's up with the AA. Okay, it's over.
Yeah, I thought something. He didn't even struggle.
No.
Barrett was just there and Cena like milked it to the crowd. And I was like, all right.
When you don't get out of the first attempt of the AA, you know you're done.
Your career's over.
Your
career's over. You've been buried. Daniel Bryan and Sin Cara had actually a very good match.
Yes. What did you think of the ending with Sin Cara supposedly turning bad? You know, now because he kicked, you know, Daniel Bryan in the face.
I think they're capitalizing on the idea that nobody likes him anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's the
only reason. I don't even think the kids like him. I just think nobody likes
him. They're turning him heel. I actually did one of these things where I wiped my face on my arm, and then I turned back and I saw him hovering over Daniel Bryan. And everybody was like, what just happened? So I don't even really know what happened. But apparently he beat him up.
Yeah.
Matt Stryker needs to stop doing backstage interviews. Because he looks
Moron. Oh, Todd Grisham, he's gone. You know, you need Matt Stryker back. I miss him
I
on
love
commentary.
Matt Stryker, but he needs to stop doing backstage interviews because he asks zero good questions. Okay.
Did you mention he does all backstage interviews with Mark Henry recently?
He only interviews Mark Henry. And every time he's terrified.
I'm waiting for Mark Except Henry for, to roll him around
but,
like he did
according,
sound
according to,
a couple weeks ago.
But this week, on Tuesday on SmackDown,
he partied with the tag champs.
Right,
he did. He was joyous with the boom booms and the
air boom.
Please. I love Matt Stryker to death. Not
awful.
There.
Beth Phoenix, Natalia, Kelly Kelly, and Alicia Fox had a vegetable.
I went right through that. I went right through that match. I was like, okay, this is my own breath.
I don't
break
even
here.
Watch it anymore. Then we had Sheamus versus the Great Khali. Oh my god.
Oh man. Can I tell you my favorite moment of that entire match was when Sheamus, he does that thing with like, you know, the guys in the ropes and he just hits him bare chest. And he's doing it to Great Khali, and Great Khali's face is just like stone. It doesn't even, he doesn't even react to it.
No, because he's so focused on not messing up that you could see, like, John, you know this, when you're performing with somebody on stage and you see them so hard, like thinking about their next line so hard where they're just trying to find it and they have no idea where it is, that's Great Khali's face. He's
Absolutely.
Trying so hard to not screw up that he has no
He's really trying.
Expression.
He's trying way too hard. And I have to rescind my comment before. This past Tuesday is when he came back with his old music. He didn't have it on Friday. But I had something else to say about Great Khali.
When is he going to retire? I don't know.
Man,
this guy? Does he look like? All right, he looks like he has rigor mortis.
He does. Absolutely
he looks like he has rigor mortis. Something's wrong with him. I love his heart. He's in it. He goes every week and he tries to do something, but he can't move.
And it looks like they already have him breaking up with Jinder Mahal.
He can't
which
move,
which is weird because I like Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, but
and he
can't
just came
move.
In. But Khali can't move. No,
can't
he's
move.
He's just. I don't
it's
think
like
he has
grandpa.
These.
It's like grandpa.
He has.
No, I don't think he has.
It's just plank legs. There you go.
He's on stilts. Then we had arguably the best match in the Randy Orton Christian feud, that cage match. It was
really?
Arguably their best.
Well,
match.
If you saw the pay per view match, I thought that was
no. This
they don't have bad matches. It's crazy.
They don't.
It's unbelievable.
They don't. They've
had like 10 matches. Not one of them has been bad.
Not one of them is even mediocre. It's like they went back and forth. I actually kind of thought Christian was going to win for some stupid reason. I thought they were just going to keep going back and forth. Rematch. They did that with Cena and Orton a few years ago.
For like constantly.
Just back and forth, back and forth. Wow. Okay. So we had that. And then what?
We needed to know who is the number one contender, Mark Henry, and he just goes around and just kills Randy Orton does the classic, you know, pose at the end.
Who was it at the end of Raw where Nash just went in and just? Oh no, it was the contract signing
on SmackDown.
Right, contract signing
was pretty good, I thought. And I've been kind of, I was telling Joe the other day, I've kind of lost my whole being impressed with this CM Punk I say what I want thing. Because he really does come out and say the same thing.
I love
hearing what he says. But every week, Triple H comes out, CM Punk comes out, says you're not a good CEO or COO, and then he just, you know, says something insulting about him, and then Nash comes out and kicks him in the face. That's how it works. Right. But
this week he took it to like another level.
But this week he actually kicked him in the face.
This week it was good. Yeah, I liked it this week.
I thought it's good. The only thing I don't like right now is why does Nash have the NWO theme? It just baffles me a little bit right now.
Mike, as a teacher, you should know it's called foreshadowing.
I don't know if it is foreshadowing. I think they're trying too hard for it to be foreshadowing. On WWE.com, they were like, "Yo, did you notice he was wearing the same shirt he wore when he came back to WCW?" Like, they're trying too hard. I don't think it's gonna happen.
I think it's blatant foreshadowing because
you really think Scott Hall is coming back?
Not Scott Hall. No, not Scott Hall.
I want Scott Hall.
This is what you're gonna get. You're gonna get Triple H. You're gonna get Xbox Six. What sticks? Whatever the hell his name is. And you're gonna probably get Shawn Michaels.
Woo!
I don't. They're never gonna give Hall money. They're never gonna say, "Hey, Hall, here's a time to be somewhere. You think you could do it?" They're never going to do that. He can't do it. He physically can't show up on time for anything.
I would pay to see Scott Hall versus Matt Hardy in a match.
So would I. It's called AA.
Yes.
Yes. You just go to AA. Go to an AA meeting and just put, you know, whatever.
And just for the record, really quick, I can't stand Kevin Nash either. Really? You know why I can't stand Kevin Nash?
Why?
This is the totally honest truth.
Why?
Because like 3 months ago, he came out and totally bashed Wade Barrett online for no reason.
So
he's completely wrong. Kevin Nash is a waste of space. He's been a waste of space since the day he debuted. He's terrible. He's always been terrible. And then he came out, he's like, "Oh, he was drunk at this dirty drunk. He and X-Pac, get your lives together." He's there drunk together, slurring their words, saying criticizing Wade Barrett, saying you dye your hair, and then you came back a month later with dyed hair, you moron. You're an idiot.
Wait, the classic was then, I think it was it this past week when CM Punk's like, "Listen, with your Rogaine hair going on over there."
Yeah.
Oh, man, Just for Men. That was great.
Looks so natural, no one can tell. Just for Men, gel. Okay.
He's American man.
Okay, folks. So we've covered Raw, we've covered the SmackDowns, both SmackDowns. But there is another company. I know we don't like to talk about it. We do not like to talk about this other company.
This is awesome.
But it does exist. It's a little company called Impact Wrestling or TNA, whatever it's called.
We're not going to talk about New Japan Wrestling. What is
this? No, not New Japan.
Okay.
And every week we give this other company 60 seconds. Mike Capizzo has 60 seconds, and he's going to go. This is TNA.
Yes.
In 60 seconds.
In 60 seconds.
Brought to you by
Flip Flops, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. you never know if the guy is a good guy or a bad guy.
Right. Flip flop.
It's true. That's because that's what always happens in TNA.
Right. all right. So we're gonna start. Let's see. And we're gonna start when it's at 38 minutes even. So we have 15 seconds.
15 seconds. Okay, so let me wait.
Okay. Good.
Okay. So before I even start, I just want to say I will have breaking news about TNA.
Breaking news.
Okay. There is gonna be breaking news because something happened tonight.
Ready? Oh. TNA, go!
Okay, so mostly what has happened right now, I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. We're getting ready for the Bound for Glory series. We're having these big competitors going on. First off, let me explain something to you right now. Crimson and Kurt Angle fighting each other every single time. Why is Crimson getting all the spotlight and considered to be the big guy, having this streak and this whole entire idea? I'm getting baffled by this. I'm sick of it. I don't want it anymore. Crimson, you're nothing. Get real, okay? That's the first thing. Second off, stop with Sting and Flair. I've seen that so many times over 20 years ago with WCW. I don't need to see it anymore. anymore. And what? We're going to end with Bound for Glory. Sting versus Hogan? Hello? That's a stupid idea. The guy's in his 60s. This guy's in his 50s. I can't stand it anymore. Now we go into this other little thing that I will have a problem with TNA. You're trying to bring back the whole entire TNA X Division and all this other stuff. They're not working right now. Kid Cash, he's lost it 10 years ago, okay? And they have these other guys coming in. It's not going to happen. Make it better. Make it better. Finally, breaking news telling you guys right now. Jeff Hardy is back.
Who cares? And that was TNA in 60 Seconds, brought to you by Flip Flops, where you never know if a guy's a heel or a face.
There you go.
All right, so that brings us to our listener mail portion, which we actually got 3 emails this week.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we have a new fan, which is actually a friend of ours.
Yes.
But she listens to the podcast and she's a wrestling fan. So she said, "Hey guys, first off, I want to say that I love the show." Her name is Danielle, by the way. Can't wait for the next episode. I was thinking of a match for the Supercard. Here's what I came up with: the Battle of the Generations. Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson, his father Rocky Johnson, and his grandfather Peter Maivia versus Randy Orton, his father Cowboy Bob Orton, and his grandfather Bob Orton Sr. As far as the match type goes, I'll leave that up to you guys to fight over. I think it should be a get out of the company on a pole match, but I'm not sure where in the card it would fit, but blah, blah, blah. Okay. She thinks it would be fun to see how wrestling's evolved through the generations. She also has a question for us.
Okay.
How would you feel about Saturday Night Main Event returning as a regular weekly show? My parents rave about it and how it used to be a lot of fun to watch. I personally have been, I've seen reruns of it and think, thanks to the wonderful world of DVDs, and enjoy watching it. First of all, it was never regular. It was always like a once every other month or once a month thing.
Yeah.
At least that's the way it was back in the day. They did try and bring it back. It gets horrendous ratings. Mm-hmm. The reason why it gets horrendous ratings is because it's on NBC.
It's on Saturday night. Who wants to spend Saturday night sitting at home watching wrestling? I love wrestling, but that's why Friday.
When they first brought it back, it got really good. It got really good ratings because they treated it like a pay per view. They had a lot of good matches on it. But yeah,
I don't think so. I don't think it would work. I mean, I still miss Sunday Night Heat. I miss it a lot. That was fun.
Sunday Night Heat, which was great.
Yeah, I mean, he brought up even Velocity.
He also
on Thursday
brought on
nights.
Shotgun Saturday Night. That I still have I have a T-shirt of Shotgun Saturday Night. I'm a huge Goldust versus Sultan fan. All right, I'm a huge Goldust versus Sultan fan. Who is actually Rikishi Fatu?
I think that if they brought back Saturday Night's Main Event, it would be a great idea at first. But eventually, it would just become Superstars.
That's what happens.
Superstars was. Superstars, they brought it back. It was a great idea at first. They had good. And then nothing happened.
Yeah, well, because WGN didn't want it anymore. They didn't want to pay.
A lot of people would say the same thing about ECW when they brought ECW back.
I watched ECW, and I started to despise it because I think it was when. Who was the champion? Was it Henry or was it Zeke Jackson?
Jackson was only champion the last day. It was either Henry, Christian, or Matt Hardy.
It clearly wasn't ECW, and the whole ECW rules matches. It was just stupid.
I'll leave that at this. Joe and I, I'll tell you right now, probably the only two people who legit miss the old
Not
ECW.
Not a day goes by when I watch wrestling that I don't think about ECW. I miss ECW so much, especially when the draft comes around.
Yeah, I love ECW, but
I actually enjoyed the ECW part just because of the fact that, you know, ECW brought us CM Punk. He brought us the rise of even John Morrison, you know, Eminem.
He brought us the greatest tag team of all time, the Dude Busters. Yes.
What the Dude Busters? Okay. Franklin writes into us every week. He's voting for Andre versus the Big Show. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
He wants to know what the deal is with Drew McIntyre. I want to see him on Raw?
Here, hold on. We have a huge fan of Drew McIntyre right here.
I am beyond the mark.
Okay.
Super mark.
Okay, folks, this is a new, very special segment called Drew McIntyre in 60 Seconds with Joe.
Listen, Drew McIntyre is the most underrated superstar in the WWE. Yes, I said it. I don't care. Yes, I'm doing Mike's thing that he was doing earlier. So, listen, Drew McIntyre is amazing. If you watch his matches on Superstars, he's so good in the ring. He knows how to sell moves better than anybody I've seen. He makes his opponent look good. He does pretty good stuff for a big guy. He's a tall dude.
He is. He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
And I want to see him on TV.
I don't get it. I hate him.
Short and to the point.
John, I hate you.
Short and to the point is right. We also had an email from Mr. Bacon,
okay.
Who writes into us every week.
Mr.
Yes.
Bacon.
Bryce Bacon. He wants to know what our thoughts are on Justin Gabriel. Okay. My thoughts are, as long as he doesn't open his mouth, I'm okay with him. Because the accent annoys the hell out of me.
What are you talking about? He loves flowers. I love flowers. Flowers, a lot of flowers in South Africa. Flowers. I'm a big NXT fan. So, I mean, right. I have, like, basically the first season of NXT on DVD. I made the DVD of it. Like,
okay.
And so his talk-to-talk challenge in the first season of NXT will always, when his word was flowers, and his response was like, well, what can I say about flowers? I love flowers.
Like, talk about it till this day.
We constantly talk about flowers all the time, but whatever. I like it.
What was that big doofy idiot who had a mustache?
I
don't
best.
Have a mustache.
I have the best mustache.
Who doesn't have a mustache?
Problem is, if he came back, I would root for him because he was on NXT.
Right.
Which,
right,
by the way,
John, we get it. You love.
By the way, I would. If everybody's getting a 60 seconds at some point down the road, I would like a 60 seconds to talk about NXT.
Okay.
This week,
okay.
Just we'll let this go because I have to discuss it.
Okay.
I have big
okay.
big opinions.
Well, we're gonna talk a couple. Bryce also wants to vote for the Big Show versus Andre.
Okay.
Match. So that brings us to our Big Splash WrestleCast's Supercard Challenge, which we now have. The way I'm going to do it now is you're going to have my card, you're going to have Mike's card. Oh, on the blog, I'm going to post up our updated cards, and then we're going to have the voted card. You know which matches get hodgepodged into whatever. You guys, you know, if you guys have any opinions on our card so far, you know, you could do that. My card so far has D. Bryan versus
Ricky
the Dragon Steamboat.
Uh-huh.
Right. The two of them are opening up. Then I have the tag match, which is the Tornado, you know, TLC thing with Dudley's Nasty Boys,
Legion of Doom,
and. And
the Hardys.
Was it the Hardys?
Yeah, the Hardy Boys.
Did I? Yeah, I had the Hardys in there. So TLC, and then I had Big Show versus Andre the Giant in a body slam. The first one to get a body slam wins.
Yep.
It was originally going to be an over the top thing, but I feel like we've seen it. Every Royal Rumble is who could get the Big Show out, and somebody always does. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the body slam thing's a big thing with Andre. So my next match on here, my next match, I think, let's see, I've given it some thought, but I didn't really, I'm thinking, I told Mike before, and this might get lost on the younger guys or even you guys, I don't even know, the match that I'm looking at is Brock Lesnar versus Bruno Sammartino. In a straight up like shoot. That's right.
Wow. I gotta give you that one, definitely. I mean I enjoy it.
I
like that. But one thing, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like that idea as a match. My match, I went back and I said, what about an Intercontinental Championship match? And I thought of a three-way dance. I said Honky Tonk Man versus Macho Man Randy Savage versus Chris Benoit. I don't know why, but I had a slight suspicion about that.
Okay. I mean, you have a good concept. Here's the thing. Honky Tonk Man doesn't belong in that match. He was a champion for 2 years because there was no competition. There was nobody. He fought nobody. Secondly, you're wasting Macho Man. You are... and Benoit, but, you know, whatever. But... I would rather see Macho Man versus Benoit one on one for the IC title. I would rather see that. But you know, you got to be careful. You got to be careful because you're using these superstars a little too early in your card.
My dream match would be Shawn Michaels versus Drew McIntyre.
He's right. It would. He's honest. My dream match would be like Grandmaster Sexay versus like Jimmy Wang Yang.
Oh, man.
And the sad part is that that's probably right. No, actually, any match involving Jimmy Wang Yang and Shannon Moore as a tag team, because they were unbelievable. My dream match happened on ECW. It was them versus Miz and Morrison. It was an amazing match. I haven't looked it up since the first time I saw it, but I just remember it being a good match.
Oh, man. Okay, so you're a big fan of NXT. I don't follow it anymore because I can't watch wrestling on my computer. It annoys that all holy hell out of me. So why don't you do a little NXT recap? You know, I'm going to give you as many seconds as you like, because I don't hate NXT as much as I hate Impact Wrestling, TNA, Total Nonstop Impact Wrestling Action.
Yes, Total Nonstop Sleeping. here's the thing with NXT. It's been really bad the past few weeks. It's the longest running season of NXT. We're now on 26 episodes in the fifth season, which is double any episode length of any other season. And the worst part is, this isn't even a good season to do that with, because you have people like Titus O'Neil and Darren Young, who I love Darren Young, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, and Derek Bateman, who's terrible. Now you have Maxine around, who I like. Maxine, I always liked her in FCW. And
I still don't know why she's back.
And they're not even acknowledging it. And here's my biggest issue with it. This week on NXT, there was no live NXT. There was NXT Graduates, it was called. A show where they recapped everybody who's been on NXT and what they've been doing. And my problem was that they mentioned very briefly Wade Barrett. They made a bigger deal about Brodus Clay than they did about Wade Barrett. And I like Brodus Clay, but come on, Wade Barrett.
First NXT season winner, and Brodus is like the runner-up season five.
And now I have a lot of gripes with it, but I'm not going to go so far into it. You know, there was a lot of things they could have done that they didn't do with this thing. But what bothers me is they didn't even mention, on a recap of the best parts of NXT, all five seasons, they never mentioned not once Otunga and McGillicuddy, who they may not be great, but they were just tag team champions for a long time, and they're involved in the storyline right now. How are you not going to mention them at all? They didn't mention Johnny Curtis, who, although he's not doing anything, really, he's been doing his promos on SmackDown, and he won NXT. You can't not mention the winner. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody like Caitlyn, she won. She hasn't done anything. You can't really say anything about
her. I thought
AJ won. No, she didn't.
She didn't win?
No, they had a whole thing on AJ, and Heath Slater, no, nothing. But my biggest issue was that what made NXT popular for a long time, they never mentioned. The NXT Graduates show, they never mentioned the Nexus even once.
Wow.
No mention of the Nexus. When the entire stable was made up of people from NXT, they didn't mention it once. And so that's just, I feel like it's a show that at this point, yes, it's terrible. But I think that they could really do something good next season. They're talking doing Legends as pros. They're talking is doing second generation rookies with their parents or whoever as pros.
Really?
Yeah, these are ideas that they're kicking around, and that could be good.
All right.
Or I'm hoping they bring it back to TV and give them good mainstream pros. The winner of this season gets to pick their own pro. If they pick anybody other than like a top guy, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my favorite pro was Goldust and
Oksana.
He's hurt, so. Yeah, and he on Twitter he said that there's no timetable for his return, so he's in bad shape. His book is amazing. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I love Goldust, but he's not in this prestigious list that Booker T has started, which Mr. Bacon has suggested that we should do. We should pick our fave fives, our top five
right now
in the company.
Right now,
our faves.
Okay.
In this company right now. Only that right now, because everybody knows my list would consist of Bret Hart. If this was a all-time list. Yeah, shut your mouth. Shut your damn American Canadian hating mouth.
To cause a little stir, I actually saw the video of Bret Hart, you know, ending his career, like the video.
Getting kicked in the temple?
Yeah, he got kicked in the temple. And every time I watch it, I go, why did that make his career end? And then I see it again. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's over. Okay.
Yeah, because it made a hole in his brain.
No.
I just think it's ironic that his career ended on a super kick. But moving on, My Fave Five right now, Booker T's Fave Five, brought to you by me, or the other way around, my Fave Five brought to you by Booker T, whatever, we're going to start at number five. Okay. Number five, I'm updated my list as of recently, is the Celtic Warrior, Sheamus. That's number five on my Fave Five. Number four is going to be Christian. He's number four. Number three is Cody Rhodes. Number two is CM Punk. And number one is D-Bry, Daniel Bryan. That is my Fave Five currently in the World Wrestling Entertainment.
All right, John, you can go now. All right.
Yeah, let's see what Mike has to say.
My favorite five. My favorite five right now. Number five is Randy Orton. Number four is Cody Rhodes. Number three is Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Number two is Christian, and number one is CM Punk. That's my favorite.
So similar list. The only guy on there that I didn't have is who's his face and what's his name. All right, we're gonna let John and Joe go on this too.
Yeah, Joe, I would love to hear your Fave Five. I'm still trying to think of mine.
All right. Well, number five, I liked your five. I'm going with the Celtic Warrior, Sheamus. Number four, I'm gonna go with CM Punk.
CM Punk four.
Yeah, just because I like the other guys much better than him. Number three, D. Bryan. Number two, Drew McIntyre.
I don't know how you can pass judgment.
He's on Superstars every week, and I watch it. He's on television.
Not on television. He's on internet.
I suppose I'm not going to put Curt Hawkins in my top five.
No, I was thinking about other people. Like, I wanted to put Husky Harris in my favorite.
Husky Harris would be all five of my top
five. He would
be
my number one.
But either way.
And number one is Randy Orton.
Okay.
My favorite currently.
I need to update my top five. I need to take Randy Orton out of my top five because
wow, I just realized it.
Because I missed The Miz.
Miz.
I need to put The Miz in my top five. I'm sorry. And if I had a six, I would actually put even R-Truth right now because he's doing amazing things right now.
No.
I'm sorry.
Please. Yeah. So my Fave Five right now is pretty sad, I guess.
Oh, God.
You know, my number five would probably be Daniel Bryan, I guess.
Okay.
Number four would be Sheamus.
Okay.
Why not? Number three, I guess, would be CM Punk.
Mm.
Number two, not Ryder. Ryder would be like... My top 10 would include Ryder, people like Brodus Clay, even somebody like Darren Young would be in my top 10. But no, my number two person who I honestly enjoy watching every time they're in a ring, I honestly don't know. I know number one's Wade Barrett. Matt Stryker, yeah. No, because he's back in the ring now, Stryker. But number one is Wade Barrett. I know that. And number two.
Do you even move your list up?
Move the list up and give it number five.
Yeah.
Because if you can't think of the number two.
I guess I can move the list up, and my number five. I don't even know. I mean, Trent Beretta. No. I guess I'll go with Zack Ryder, but not really. I only like his personality, and I guess I like his in ring ability. But I'm over him also kind of. But I like him. I don't know. It's a whole situation. I don't know what the hell I'm doing with these wrestlers. And people always ask me, who's your favorite wrestler? Until Wade Barrett came around, I really didn't have an answer. I honestly love Grandmaster Sex. I went out of my way to see Grandmaster. When he came back to pick on Jerry Lawler and he was fat and southern, I was like, please.
And he was dancing down the middle of the ring.
Around. I was like, I needed this guy. I don't know.
How much did he need him?
I'm a story
he
fan.
He created him the
fan.
Next day.
I know who your number five is going to be. Your number five. Is the only dude buster remaining.
Trent Beretta.
Kalen Croft.
Trent Beretta's better than Croft.
I like Croft better, actually.
Nah, he's not better, though. No, in the ring, like Beretta was much better.
Beretta has a much better look than Kalen Croft.
I don't care about look. They both look like a bunch of goofballs.
No,
but
he looks so good.
He looks so good. Things are getting a little awkward. How excited are you for WWE 12?
Oh, man. Baby. Oh, baby. You have no
idea. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
And just two words sum up why Joe and I are excited about WWE.
Gay threesome.
Well, yes, well, that is three words. That is two words. And I'll say it as to not risk, like, a, we'll say the wrong thing at the same time. Two words. Husky Harris.
Oh, yeah. Booyah. Husky Harris.
You have no idea how ecstatic I am. It's unbelievable.
Wait, hold on. I just realized one thing we didn't touch in this podcast.
Okay. Touch it. It's a conversational podcast.
Del Rio was not on Raw or the Super SmackDown.
Because he's Mexican.
Because...
We're not talking. We haven't even brought up Darío, the current WWE champion. Nobody cares about this guy.
Exactly. See that's indicative of his title run. Nobody cares.
It got to the end of the show on Raw. I was like, oh wait, where's the WWE champion Darío? Oh, I don't care. So.
And then SmackDown. He's supposed to have a big match with Sin Cara. No. Okay, it's not.
That was the
stay in Mexico. Nobody wants you here.
Oh, God. All right, that's like that far. I mean, he's.
I would go farther. Don't give me the microphone, because I would definitely go farther than that.
All right. Well, that'll bring us to the end here. I want to thank Joe, Crazy Joe, and Pud here for joining us. I've been trying to get John on the show since it started, because he's an ass and he just won't commit.
I am not. It's not that I won't commit. So I love doing this type of stuff. And it is a total coincidence. I thought about this today, that Mike keeps bringing up the fact that Mike does a radio show with me. Right. You know, we have a comedy morning talk radio show.
Right.
And it's totally by chance that the fifth season of our show starts up next Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Right.
WBC.
where can they listen to this?
You could listen to The Cool Side of the Pillow on www.mywbcr.com.
Mywbcr.com.
Yes, 10 o'clock. Thursday mornings, and if they can call in. You could become a fan on Facebook, and you'll get all the information there.
Yeah, I've called in a couple times. It's fun time.
Oh, yes.
You guys do a wrestling segment.
Oh, we do.
I expect to be on speed dial for every wrestling segment.
And we're not like a dead serious show. We're totally coming the whole time. So it's fun.
It's good times. There was one of the things that you guys did. What was it? Something with like school papers or something. Like real paper, school paper. It was very funny.
That was my old
very,
segment.
Very funny, very funny stuff. So that's gonna do it for us, I guess. Next week, who knows what's gonna happen in the wrestling world? Kevin Nash might kill somebody. hopefully it's Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy in a twist of fate, if you will, a twist of metal and gasoline and fire fate. We don't wish things terrible on it. We don't wish death or future endeavors on of anybody except for Snitsky, but he's gone, so I don't have to worry about it. Oh man. All right, well I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
Keep reaching for the belts. All right, folks. I'm sorry. I do have to come back because Joe forgot to say something that he's been dying to say since he knew he was going to be on this, which is all of about 2 hours.
Lou Gals, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I love you. Please come back.
As if it was up to you. We wish you well in your future endeavors.